This podcast is supported by SprintGP, an online racing environment that allows users to build unique teams across multiple series. SprintGP offers a supportive community that rewards strategy and skill. Become a team owner and build your legacy today. To learn more, head on over to SprintGP.com, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and join the community on Discord. Hey everyone, welcome back to Racing to Win, brought to you by Apex 146. I'm your host, Julia Robinson. Hello everyone, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Racing to Win, brought to you by Apex 146. As always, I'm your host, Julia Robinson. I'm going to be flying solo today. Usually we have Connor Walk here with us. He could not make it. That's okay, because we are going to be digging into round 13 of the 2022 MotoGP season at the infamous Red Bull Ring Spielberg. So let's just dive right in. I mean, overall, it definitely was not the craziest drama-filled race that we've seen here at the Red Bull Ring. I definitely kind of expected a little bit more, maybe, but not sad, as a lot of riders did keep the rubber side down. And we saw some pretty spectacular performances across the board and across a handful of different manufacturers. So today we're going to be doing some general overview of who performed well, in what, I guess, realms they did well, really digging into the indexes provided by Apex 146, but also highlighting three specific hidden gems that I would say definitely flew under the radar. Some of them got a little bit more coverage than others, but it's one of my favorite things to do after a race is uncover really who shined, did not get the recognition that they needed or, you know, deserved, but actually had some pretty outstanding performances. So I guess let's just start big picture. In case you need a little refresher on who kicked off the weekend strong, let's look at qualifying, because it was a Ducati show, to say the least. So pole position, we did have Annea Bastianini. This was a great start to his weekend, given him and Martin are really fighting tooth and nail for that second Ducati factory seat. We had Bagnaia and Miller rounding out the front row. Really strong performances from both of them. Really crucial for Bagnaia. Martin, fourth, again, fighting for that factory seat. So maybe not front row. Definitely outshined a little bit by Bastianini on pole, but a very strong performance over the weekend. Yamaha slipping in there, fifth position, Fabio Quartararo, and then back to Ducati for Zarco that rounded out the second row of the starting grid. Looking at the rest of the riders in Q2, we had both Aprilia riders. We did have both Suzuki riders, which we'll definitely be digging into Mir in a little bit. And then we also had Fabio Di Giantonio and Binder in there. And so Binder rounded out the top 12. We said last week that it was going to be crucial for Oliveira or Binder in order to do well. They needed to get into Q2. Binder was able to achieve that. With that said, we did not see the performance that we were hoping. He did end up finishing seventh, so not terrible. Got some valuable championship points, but for KTM's home race in Austria, we were definitely expecting a little bit more from the South African rider. So qualifying, I wouldn't say there were many huge surprises. The Ducati riders really did deliver here. They were definitely the shining lights. Now, if we look from starting grid to final positions, let's just go through the top 10 finishers of the race. Of course, we had Pecco Bagnaia in first. Really important for him. He is on a roll. This is his third win in a row. So going into Misano, I mean, I'd be a little scared if I were Quartararo and Aleix Espargaró, as he is starting to really hunt them down for that world championship title. Quartararo did defend himself with a strong second finish. Miller on third, which, you know, we saw him dance a little bit with Jorge Martin there. Martin, unfortunately, couldn't hang with Miller. And I really think that the years of experience on the circuit and maturity in riding shown through here with Miller versus Martin, and definitely picked up on that a little bit with those post-race interviews. So Miller did a great job rounding out the podium. And then one of the riders that we're definitely going to be focusing on today, Luca Marini in fourth with an incredible performance. Zarco in fifth, Aleix Espargaró in sixth. So not too far behind Bagnaia and Quartararo, but enough to make a little bit of a difference with those championship points. Like I said earlier, Brad Binder finished in 7th, Alex Rins in 8th, Marco Bezzecchi in 9th, and then Jorge Martin, after that unfortunate fall in, like, I think it was the last lap, rounded out the top 10. So he was able to recover a little bit, but I mean, he was right on line for the podium. So, unfortunate end to his race, as well as Enea Bastianini, who actually had a mechanical. So, you know, really quickly, just looking at some of the riders that unfortunately DNF'd. Mir, an awful, awful high side. I mean, he was going to the moon. We've learned since that he does have a fractured foot, did not finish the first lap. Unfortunately, Franco Morbidelli was not able to match his teammate's performance, got him a DNF. Darren Binder, Takaki Nakagami, and then, as I said, Enea Bastianini. So just looking at, like, the overview, I would say that this was a very telling race in terms of people's in-season form and really who we're going to be keeping an eye on, because, as I said, Bagnaia is on a roll. Quartararo is doing what he can to defend that. Miller has been on fire, definitely, you know, finishing strong with Ducati. And Bastianini and Martin, neither of them have really consistently delivered. And I mean, I don't know who that seat's going to go to. I have my opinions on who it should go to, who I think, but I'll save that for another day. Vinales and Aleix Espargaró are holding strong with Aprilia, but, you know, we're not seeing the consistent performance that we need to, especially for Aleix to end up as a world champion or still stay as a contender for it, because ninth place is, you're going to lose a lot of points when your two opponents are getting first and second. So I do think that this was a very, like I said, telling race, very concrete on where we stand going into Misano. Now, Misano is going to be a really interesting race. It is one of Bagnaia's favorite circuits. It is also one of my favorite riders' last races, as Andrea Dovizioso is going to be retiring. So it's going to definitely be an emotional weekend, but it's also going to really set the tone, as this weekend did for the rest of the season. And that's the World Championship is on. And so what I want to do today is do a overview of a handful of indexes that are really going to help us pick apart what happened between the flags at the Red Bull Ring. So let's start, as they did, with our whole shot index. So Apex 146's whole shot index takes into account a rider's grid position, so their performance in qualifying, as well as their performance in the first sector of the race. That first sector really sets the tone for the rest of the race. So first to fifth whole shot index, we have Bagnaia, Bastianini, Miller, Martin, and Quartararo. Now, heavily Ducati once again, not a huge surprise because these guys out of the gate were on it and they really set the pace and led the group for the remainder of the race. Now, Quartararo definitely did hold his own. He climbed back, I would say, a little, you know, stronger than I thought he would. Also, we had Bastianini and Martin fall out of that front group, so that did not hurt. Now, if we're looking at some broader pieces of information, let's start with the speed index, because this is just a really base level index that tells a lot. And so we're looking at sector speeds throughout the circuit and solely who held the fastest speeds. Now, this is not a huge surprise. Fabio Quartararo does rank first, Bagnaia second, Miller third, Marini fourth, and Zarco fifth. Now, as you can see, the speed index does not always just reflect who won the race, because one fast lap is going to help you in qualifying. Here, I don't know what it was, 28 fast laps we needed in order to get yourself to the podium. So we did see Quartararo actually rank first for the speed index. He started a little bit farther behind. He had a little bit more of his work cut out for him, but he was very, very competitive with Bagnaia. Now, on the contrary, like I mentioned, it's not one just fast lap. So we look at consistency as well. The consistency index does not always identify the fastest riders. It'll definitely identify the fastest competitive riders, such as Quartararo or Bagnaia, but it's also going to uncover some of the riders that perhaps ranked a tad bit lower, but held very consistent sector time. So that means there's a small range in their clocked in times. So consistency rankings, top five, we have Fabio Quartararo, Pecco Bagnaia, Miguel Oliveira. Now I'm going to pause because the top three were like basically tied. They were very close. Oliveira is obviously the only one out of these three that was not on the podium. He had a little bit of a slower pace, but he was clocking in those consistent times. And that's one thing that does make Miguel Oliveira a very dangerous rider, is he has that really strong foundation of consistency. When he's able to match the speed, that is when he's unstoppable and starts to pull away. Ranking fourth for consistency, Joanne Zarco, and ranking fifth, Brad Binder. So, definitely riders that fell within the top, you know, top half of the group, maybe minus Oliveira, but really strong foundations. You'll also notice these are some of the older riders, you know, maybe not Binder as much, but these are riders that have a bit more years of experience of putting together one fast lap after another, which is required in order to overtake, pull away, and lead a race. So far, it's definitely been some overlap with athletes when we're talking about the hole shot, the speed, consistency. Mostly, Quartararo and Bagnaia are very common denominators here. Zarco for speed and consistency. We're seeing those years of experience. But if we start to look more at the indexes that reflect the rider-to-rider movement, so looking solely at Predator, which, if you're new here or you need a refresher, Predator Index is really just looking of the total number of opponents that you passed from start to finish. Now, this is not the total number of positions you gained or lost throughout a race. We're just looking at how many people did you pass. Now, I just want to name three riders who are my three hidden gems, because they were the top ranking predators for this race, and they were like significantly stronger than everybody else. Luca Marini, Alex Marquez, Marco Bezzecchi. They all tied with a Predator Index of 11. They passed 11 people from start to finish. These are all greener riders. They're still getting experience. They're racing with the best of the best, and they killed it. Now, Luca Marini definitely did get some limelight this weekend, as he had his best, strongest MotoGP finish, but I don't think enough was said about actually what was so strong about his performance, and it was the strategy that these riders had between the flags. Because, on the contrary of Predator Index, we have Prey Index. Now, Prey is how many people you let pass you on a lap-to-lap basis. Ideally, this is zero. You want a high Predator number, you want a low Prey number. Alex Marquez and Bezzecchi both, obviously, had very strong Predator Indexes. They also had a Prey Index of zero, which means they both passed 11 people and let zero people pass them on a lap-to-lap basis, which is incredible. Because Alex Marquez started in 25th, the very back of the grid. I did not see the interview that Alex Marquez deserved after that performance, because he worked hard, and that is a really difficult section of the grid to move through. There's a lot of traffic in there. And so he really pulled out the strategic riding that we've seen from him. Other riders that had a Prey Index of zero besides Alex Marquez and Bezzecchi, we said Brad Binder, Raul Fernandez, and Pecco Bagnaia. So one great thing about these indexes that focus more on the rider to rider aspect is that we see a lot of riders from mid-pack, backpack, but also the front. So obviously Pecco Bagnaia is in there, but he's alongside Raul Fernandez and Brad Binder. So definitely all of these riders kept the strategy. It's their defensive ability that helped them get to where they are. Now, if we combine Predator and Prey, we get our net movement index. And so this is really looking at the total number of positions you gained or lost during a race. I said it before, I'll say it again. Marco Bezzecchi, Alex Marquez, they both had a net movement of 11. They finished 11 positions ahead of where they started. And much more importantly, they had a volatility of 11. Which means that both Bezzecchi and Alex Marquez passed 11 people. They did not let anybody pass them. Every single pass they made on a lap-to-lap basis, they held. They did not have these back-and-forth battles necessarily. And so it's the strategy that helped them make up all these positions. And I mean, these two riders, they're young, they're up-and-coming, they deserve the attention here, because that is huge. And it's a really strong foundation of strategy. Luca Marini ranks second for net movement. He had a net movement of 9 positions, which is a heck of a lot. His volatility, so number of times his position changed, was a little bit higher at 13. And so what that shows us is he was able to make up 9 positions, but within that, between the flags, there were some battles where he would pass and then he'd get passed and have to make that ground, I guess, and then pass again before taking off. And so Luca Marini, now, to be fair, he did finish the farthest ahead between himself, Bezcheky, and Alex Marquez. So he was fighting with some of those top riders. He did end fourth, his best finish for MotoGP. So you could argue, okay, well, the people that he was battling with, maybe they're holding faster speeds, they're very consistent, he's working a little bit harder. I take my hat off to all three of them. I'm really excited to see the future of these riders because they're coming in with a great foundation. Now, the last three riders, as we look at net movement, Brad Binder, Miguel Oliveira, and Raul Fernandez, three names we've heard, they all had a net movement of 5. Brad and Raul had a volatility of 5, which means every time they passed, they were able to hold that position. That's awesome. Oliveira had a little bit higher of a volatility, so he did have some lap-to-lap battles. But overall, I mean, I'm saying that the people that tied for third had a net of 5. And if we look at these younger riders, they had nets of 11 and 9. I mean, it's just significantly ahead and really great to see them make up all of this ground. And clearly you can tell I'm very excited for them and about them with their performances. So if we then go back, take a step back, and look at Apex 146's efficiency index. Now, the efficiency index just brings it all together, everything that we've talked about today. It takes into account hole shot, it takes into account net, and it takes into account volatility. So we're looking at the start of the race and then big picture, what happened between the flags. Efficiency index ranked 1st to 5th, Bagnaia, Binder, Quartararo, Marini, and Bezcheky. Half of those riders got the recognition they earned, they deserve this week. I would say 2 or 3 of them did not. And so that is why I'm putting them on blast here, because they killed it. This is definitely a mix of riders that are a little bit more experienced. Clearly, 2 of them are fighting for the world championship title. And then 3 of them are a little bit more in the middle of the group, up and coming. And so it's really great to see this spread. It's why the efficiency index is one of my favorite indexes, because we are identifying those hidden gems that perhaps did not get the recognition they deserved over the weekend. So if you take anything away from all of that, the top performing hidden gems, Marco Bezcheky, who I would like to note is leading all of the rookies this year with 68 points. He is about 45 points, I believe, ahead of the next ranked rookie. So he's killing it for that title of Rookie of the Year. And then Alex Marquez and Luca Marini. 3 hidden gems that had really just inspiring performances. Now, if we want to take a step back and look at where the championship stands, some things have definitely changed in the rankings, but not as much as they could have. So going into this race, say Fabio Quartararo DNF'd and Aleix Espargaró won the race, Aleix would have taken over the world championship title lead. Quartararo currently sits with 200 points, still in first. He really nailed that in with this last podium. Aleix Espargaró finished a little bit behind, so he is sitting with 168 points. Now he's 32 points behind Quartararo. So that was some pretty crucial ground he lost, because as it stood before, one race would have made an entire difference in the championship standings. It's going to take more than that now, and he's definitely going to be having to go into every weekend watching his back and understanding where his finishing position, how that affects the standings relative to Quartararo. Now, Bagnaia has been climbing his way back up these past 3 races. He's at 156 points. He's only 12 behind Aleix. So this is the interesting, I think, part that we're going to be looking at these next few races, is the dance between 2nd and 3rd position for the world championship rankings. 12 points is not a lot, and Bagnaia is on fire. So going into Misano, Aleix is really going to have to bring it. 4th place, we have Zarco. Not a huge jump. He sits with 125 points. So he's 31 points behind Bagnaia? So he's hanging in there. But right behind Zarco, we have Miller in 5th place with 123 points. So a 2-point difference there. Miller is similar to Bagnaia. He's been doing really well these past few races. So Yeah, I would say Zarco and Aleix definitely have to watch their backs. And Bagnaia is just going to have to keep this form going. And Quartararo is going to have to keep defending because that gap is slowly going to close before we know it. But going into these next few races, it's going to be exciting. We have a lot of really unique circuits coming up. And I am just so excited to have more episodes like this where we get to unpack the race, but more importantly, identify these hidden gem riders, especially when they're up and coming. It makes me so excited for the future of this series. So we have a week off, but nonetheless, we do have a Twitter space this Thursday at, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So hosted by Sprint GP alongside Apex 146, we're going to be further discussing Austria and, you know, maybe dig into some fine details. But we're also going to be just taking a step back and really analyzing not only the World Championship standings, but also 2023 contracts, because some things got announced this past weekend. Did not really cover Pol Espargaró and his jump to GasGas. We're going to save that for Thursday. So Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join Sprint GP and Apex 146. I will be there discussing with Scott from Apex 146 as well what's going on with the World Championship, what's going on with those contracts. We're hopefully going to be hearing some more in the upcoming weeks, but join the conversation. And as always, join the Sprint GP community on Discord, Instagram, Twitter. Check out sprintgp.com to learn more about this really cool virtual racing environment. I mean, sitting here on this podcast and talking about the MotoGP riders, I have like completely side conversations with other Sprint GP racers, and we're using all the same analytics that we're using in this podcast to talk about our own racers and the statistics behind them, their performance, what they're good at, what they're not good at, what circuits they're good at, different length races. So if you enjoy listening to Racing to Win and learning about all your favorite MotoGP riders, you should definitely check out Sprint GP, because you can be a racing team owner, you can be a racing team coach, all the things, and build statistics around your own athletes and learn more about them as we do on this podcast. It's a really fun experience. It's an awesome community that's all very passionate about data and sports and racing. So like I said, join Sprint GP on Discord, Instagram, Twitter. Join us on Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for our Twitter space as we cover where we stand with the World Championship, where we stand with 2023 contracts, and any questions you may have, because Twitter spaces offer open mics. So join the conversation, join the community. We'd love to have you. As always, thank you so much for listening in to Racing to Win. We will be back next week as we prepare for the Misano Grand Prix. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you then.